ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. There you have it. If that's not an awesome way to start your week, not sure what is. Welcome, everyone. We are really excited for our second podcast about Pesach, Haggadah, etc., coming into the Passover holiday. And I want to wish each and every one of you a meaningful and uplifted and powerful and moving and spiritually connected and harmony in the home Passover. Yes, Passover is the day of days. There's so much going on in terms of the cleaning, in terms of the shopping, in terms of the cooking, in terms of the buying new clothes for in honor of the holiday. Everything is pushed aside to focus on this day. In the secular world, there's the, you know, the secular world has their Xmas and their New Year's and their Super Bowls that push away everything else. This holiday pushes away everything else. This trumps everything else. This takes first priority. This is number one. And I give you a blessing that you should be able to plug into that, to push away all of the extraneous things in your life, be it mani-pedis, be it appointments, be it technical stuff. This is the time to push all of that away and make Passover number one. And that is what we are going to try to get inspired to do tonight. We had an amazing Shabbos in the city this past weekend and launched us into this week. Wednesday night is our Seder. So we are extremely looking forward to it. And I know our listeners are as well. So let's get right to it. And I have to say, one of my most fun things to do is to look at Haggadahs. There are lots of Haggadahs out there. And in fact, now I heard this years ago from the author of an absolutely beautiful Haggadah. And it's called the Moss Haggadah, M-O-S-S. And I remember hearing this lecture probably in 1994. Maybe 1995, around then. And he is a beautiful artist, made a beautiful Haggadah that's called the Moss Haggadah. And it was on the theme of like medieval Haggadahs of illuminated and beautiful artistry. And it's absolutely a fascinating work with a tremendous amount of research in it as well. Recommend everyone to look it up. It's fantastic. And he said that the number one old-time printed book is the Haggadah. Isn't that unbelievable? Now, I don't know if he means in terms of copies, in terms of number of different editions. So it's hard for me to believe that it's more than the Bible and all the variations of the Bible. But, you know, what could I say? It's up there. Maybe someone could do some research and let me know. But Haggadahs are, you know, every rabbi worth his salt has his own Haggadah, his own commentary. There are thousands of Haggadahs which to plug into. And I really, really, really recommend getting a Haggadah that speaks to you, that is, first of all, according to the tradition. We are going to look at some Haggadahs tonight that sometimes you either have to laugh or cry, but that the Haggadah should stay on point. The Haggadah is only about the Exodus from Egypt. That and only that. It is about the story of the Israelites. It is a story about our ancestors, a story about how the Almighty extricated us from the clutches of the most brutal culture possibly in human history, the Egyptians, and how he took us out with miracles that were done like a loving parent to a child, and then brought us out through the sea, with the sea collapsing and crashing on the Egyptians, and eventually bringing us to Mount Sinai, which was a key step in our redemption. It was not enough for us to leave Egypt and go chill and play hoops on the courts of the city, you know, of hanging out, of eating falafel, whatever it is. And those all may be fun things, but that's not why Hashem took us out. He took us out that we can make the transition from Avadim Hayinu Leparo Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And the transition that we are making now is to become Ovdei Hashem, servants of Hashem. The same word Eved is consistent. We go from being enslaved, slaves to Pharaoh, to becoming servants of Hashem, of God. Now, the question is, it's the same word. Why do you use the word slave in one context with Pharaoh and use the word servant in the context with the Almighty? And the answer is the word Eved, Ayin Ves Dalid, means to serve, to work. Avodah means labor. But depending on who your master is, that work will either crush you like Pharaoh, or it will elevate you like serving Hashem and doing the mitzvahs. And that is the whole transition. We are not going from jail to freedom to be able to do whatever we want. We are going from servitude, where we learned how to submit our ego to a higher authority. But the higher authority is being exchanged from a cruel human one to a loving divine one. And some of the lessons that we learned in Egypt were essential for our journey 3,338 years and counting since we left Egypt. How to submit our egos to the CEO of the universe, to our master, who when he tells us to do something, it's for our benefit. All of the mitzvahs are to purify ourselves, to elevate ourselves, to humble ourselves, to control our inner drives, to elevate them to higher levels. That is the story, folks. That's what we are doing. And so what are we doing here at Olam E613? This is what we're doing. We're teaching the mitzvahs. We're teaching. That's why we named it 613. Is because those are the activities that our loving parent, Hashem, God Almighty, gave us and gives us daily in order for us to elevate ourselves, to purify ourselves, and to develop our best human and Jewish potential. That's what they are for. And so sometimes people say, Rabbi, it's so hard and it's a burden and Shabbos is getting out late now. Yes. But these activities, first of all, if you do them right, they should be fun. They really should be. But the whole purpose of these activities is that they elevate us and they inspire us to dig deep, to find deep wells of determination and inspiration to become our best selves. Okay, that's the story of the night. And with that background, I would love now to pivot to tell you what the story is not. And boy, oh boy, when Jews leave Torah Judaism, the Jewish soul still longs for authenticity. The Jewish soul longs to connect to our Torah traditions. But instead of plugging in to the sugar of Jewish tradition, they settle for the saccharin. For those younger people, that's like Splenda that didn't taste so good. Okay, they settle for a very poor substitute. And I have a collection of quotes from various Haggadahs. And I'd like to share with you some of them. Now, this is from the Red Haggadah, 1927. These Jews left Torah Judaism because they felt that becoming communist was going to be the way to bring the world to its completion. Communism is very messianic, and it's building a utopia. It had to kill, you know, dozens of millions of people on the way to fit into the utopia. But I digress. And here is a snippet from the Red Haggadah, 1927. We were slaves to capital. I assume that's capitalism. Until the October Revolution, the Russian Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, redeemed us with a strong hand from the land of slavery. Okay, you see what they're doing over here? They're just replacing God redeeming us from Pharaoh to communism replacing God, literally replacing God. If it weren't for the October Revolution, then we and our children and our children's children would still be slaves to capitalism. Today, the revolution is only here. Next year, a world revolution. And it's unbelievable. It's literally taking the same theme and it's using the Haggadah as the platform to say that we don't need God anymore. We're taking God's book and we're kicking God out of the equation, and we're inserting that communism is the real savior. Now, the real sad irony and tragedy is that in the 1930s, all of these Jewish communists were killed, were murdered by the communists because they put their faith in a false God, G-O-D. Okay, let's see what else we have here. We have our Feminist Haggadah. Feminist Haggadah. This is by Tanya Zion Waldox in 2006. Here we go. We women are still slaves. We're still slaves. We haven't been. Okay, let's see what she says. To our body image, guilt eating into our bodies and souls. To our superwoman ideals that scatter our energies everywhere. To a selective memory of history that erases our foremothers. To recalcitrant husbands who imprison us in dead marriages. To our desire to be considered good little girls. To society's concept of success, competitive, autonomous, and lonely. To our misconception that feminism is just for and about women. That it denies deep and healthy relationships with the men in our lives. Okay, now I can't even tell you what she just said. I have no idea. She's all over the place, good old Tanya. But the point is that now the story of the Seder is going to be replaced by feminism. And the main struggle is of the woman against society, the Pharaoh of society keeping her down. Again, no mention of God, no mention of the Israelites, no mention of everything. Okay, shall I continue? There's a 60s Rebels one. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. You could look up the Freedom Haggadah in 1969 by Arthur Waskow. Okay, he goes, I'll do a little bit of it. He says, the authors of injustice and oppression in America are pharaohs. We name the pharaohs in Congress who multiply the weapons. And he just goes on, we name the pharaohs who poison the land and the water, da 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 da. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. So basically, all of the American government is the pharaoh of that one. Now, let's move on to one that I found, and it's the Environmentalist Haggadah. This is really fun. I want to share with you this one. This is the Earth Justice Seder Haggadah, March 2016. We have to give credit where credit is due. This is the Reform Religious Action Center. And there was a author here. Okay, if I find it, great. All right, so basically, starts off with Kiddush, Kadesh, the first cup. You know what? We should focus on the first cup of wine. Access to clean water. Access to clean water, because that's exactly what God wants us to think about when we're lifting our first cup Okay, and it even gives tips. Give up bottled water. Buy yourself a reusable water bottle. Oh, wow. Okay, great. That's the message of the Passover Seder. That's how we're going to inculcate Jewish values to the next generation. How long is this going to go up? Last over here. Okay. Now dipping the greens, the karpas. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Just having too much fun tonight. As you dip the beauty of greens into the water of tears, please hear my cry. Can't you see that I am slowly dying? My forests are being clear-cut, diminished. My diverse and wondrous creatures, birds of the sky, beasts of the field, small and large, are threatened with extinction in your lifetimes. Colorful flora and fauna are diminishing. Tropical places disappearing before us. Oceans are warming. Climate is changing, bringing floods and heat. It goes on. Oh my goodness, this lament. This is what we should be thinking about when we dip our karpas, our parsley or celery or potato, whatever you use, into the salt water. Really? Really? The night when we have all of our family together? The night that we are continuing the 3,338 year tradition? You want to talk about climate change? That's what moves you? That's what's at the heart of your passions? You've missed it. You've missed the whole boat. Folks, I'm making fun, but this is sad. This is the great message. How long is this going to be passed on? And if it's passed on, what is uniquely Jewish about this message? Everyone is saying stuff like this. I mean, everyone who believes in all of this stuff, quote unquote. And then, of course, the four children. The wise child. You know where this is going. The wise child knows that climate change is real. And they must act to combat its effects. And it goes on, the wicked child has read about climate change and is aware that scientists predict a whole range of negative effects if we don't reduce global carbon emissions. By the way, it's a huge disagreement in the scientific community, FYI. For all of you dogmatists about environmentalism, we like clean water, we like clean air, etc. But this whole climate, global warming thing is very much a debate in the scientific world. I encourage you to investigate it. Okay, but the wicked child doesn't think the issues caused by climate change can apply to them. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Folks, we have a choice over here. We are at a place in our history in America where, how do we say this? We've been talking about this. The non-Jews are knocking on our door, reminding us that we're not as welcome here as we once were. And we've talked many times on this podcast how we as Jews are not afraid of that. We see that as the Almighty using them as a tool to remind us that we need to know why we are unique and what makes us special. And climate change is not what makes us special. And feminism is not what makes us special. And communism is not what makes us special. And belonging to either political party is not what makes us special. What makes us special is that we are part of the Jewish people and we are part of an unbroken chain from the Exodus of Egypt to today of Jews who've been through fire and water and back again to stay faithful to our God, Hashem Almighty. And those Jews who have stayed faithful are still Jewish against all odds, against all odds. And those at some point in the last 3,338 years who have veered from that allegiance are simply no longer part of the most glorious nation ever to have occupied planet Earth, the Jewish people. And so we have amazing opportunity this Pesach. If you are going to be leading a Seder, if you are going to be part of a Seder, to keep the mission, the messaging on point, please do not devolve into political discussions because that's not the point of the night. You want to talk about it after the Seder. I still don't think it's good for the peace and harmony of the Jewish home. I keep the messaging on point. This is story is about us being Jewish, and what does that mean that we're part of this amazing tradition? There should be a discussion about this, and the anti-Semitism should not be a discussion about policy. It should be a discussion about what, how are we supposed to react, and not vis-a-vis political legislation, which is a different discussion, but about what we can do to step up spiritually, to lean into our Judaism, to embrace it. If they are going to call us out negatively for being Jewish, then they're really calling us out that we should be distinguishing ourselves positively because we are Jewish. That's the story here today in 2026 in America, 5/7/86 in the Hebrew calendar. So I wish everyone an amazing, beautiful, God-centered, Jewish people-centered Pesach, Haggadah, Seder experience. We should stay on point. What's in your Haggadah? Get a Haggadah that tells the story of eternity and the story of today. God bless. And next week, we are going to be off for Passover, but we look forward after that to seeing you right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.